May I speak in the words of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. I wonder what your answer might be to the question, what does being in partnership actually mean? I suspect there would be many answers, perhaps as many answers as to how many types of partnerships there are or might be. Your answer might firstly be to ask for a definition of partnership before you even began to answer the question. There are romantic partnerships, people just beginning a partnership, those who are well into relationship and establishing a partnership, and those who are married or in a civil partnership. When a romantic partnership is good and built on solid foundations, it can help the people within it to flourish and be the people they were most intended to be. There are business partnerships, people working together with different skills and talents, working towards a common goal. Or maybe developing financial partnerships like on Dragon's Den to allow businesses to develop and flourish. There are community partnerships, charities or bodies working with business or governments in the community to make life better for those living there. We have multi-academy trusts for education purposes now too, schools who go into partnership with one another to enable the education of children to flourish and to be able to share the skills of their staff together. Those are just a few of the different types of partnerships that we can see around our lives and our world. However, whatever type of partnership you are part of, it takes work and sometimes hard work to make the partnership one that does indeed enable those within it to flourish. We certainly, I'm sure, can all name those partnerships where people do not flourish, but are oppressed and bowed down, don't feel able to be themselves or to develop their gifts and skills. So why all this talk of partnership? Well, today in our readings, we see partnership at work, and we're exhorted to be part of a partnership. We see in our readings a coming together of two or more aspects to create a whole, and a whole that is only interested in the flourishing of the partnership. In our gospel reading that Heather read for us, we have the familiar story of the leper being healed by Jesus. It's a story I struggle with because of the element of choice within it, but more of that in a moment. What we see is a partnership at work, and because Jesus is one part of the partnership, it is also a partnership of equity, despite how it looks. It looks like a poor man, crippled by leprosy, comes to a man with great power and asks for that power to be used on him. In reality, it is a story of two men who have both lost much, coming together and in their common grief for the state in which the man finds himself, create a partnership that leads to flourishing. The flourishing of the man with leprosy, the flourishing of those who would then come to Jesus later because of this man's testimony, and ultimately the flourishing of Jesus' own ministry. He is already famous in the region of Galilee, and even by the end of this first chapter of Mark, he has healed many. We do not know exactly how many were healed, and on the flip side of this, we do not know how many were not. Some people are named, and others are anonymous, except for what ailed them, the man with the unclean spirit, a leper, and so on. What we do know for certain, though, is that each of these people came to Jesus in the first place. They made that choice, the first move, if you like, to either take themselves or get someone to take them to Jesus, knowing their need of his particular healing. This is how the partnership is created, choice. It was the way in which the partnership was created then, and it is still the way in which the partnership is created today. In a time of restrictions, when our choices have been limited hugely, it's hard to think we have a choice about anything beyond what we eat, read, watch, or listen to. But the fundamental foundation of Jesus' ministry and his healing is choice, our choice to approach him on a daily basis with all our needs, and his choice to be there for us. So we come to the difficult part of that reading that I really do struggle with. The part where Jesus says, I choose to heal you. So does that mean that Jesus sometimes doesn't choose to heal people? This is a very difficult piece of scripture, particularly when we're in a pandemic and seeing so many people dying, not being healed. And I'm sure those who are dying have friends and family around them who are praying earnestly for them to be healed. What happens when they are not healed? Does that mean that Jesus hasn't chosen to heal them, even though they chose to ask for that? I think perhaps we have to look at this on a bigger scale. As a micro healing going on here in this gospel reading. And there's also a macro healing. And it does have to do with choice. It has to do with the choice of Jesus to empty himself for us. That famous passage from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, reads, "Though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Jesus's choice to leave his Father, to empty himself, to become incarnate with us in the world, is the beginning of a new partnership, a partnership between God and his people. And on a macro level, it's this partnership that brings healing to the whole of the world. It's this partnership that shows people a different way to live, that gives them unconditional love and acceptance. It is this choice that Jesus makes when he is at his baptism in the desert and in all of his ministry that enables us to be healed. But it is his biggest choice, the choice that he makes, as Paul writes, to become obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He could have chosen a different way. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he is in agony, praying, "Please, Lord, take this cup away from me," there could have been a different choice. And yet he continues to walk the path that is laid before him. There are a few passages in the Bible where we see Jesus cry. We see him have pity on the leper in this passage. Jesus cries outside of the tomb of Lazarus, his friend, and he cries in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was utterly human. That's why I say there was an equity in the meeting of the man with leprosy and with Jesus. They were both two human men, coping with what was going on in life, finding solace between one another. Jesus always chooses to heal us because of his death and resurrection. Paul writes in that letter to the Hebrews, at the very end, For we have become partners of Christ, if only we hold our first confidence firm to the end. That whole passage from Hebrews is about not hardening our hearts, not closing our ears, and not shutting our eyes to the healing power of Christ in the world. It may not look like it on a day-to-day basis at the moment that Jesus is choosing to heal us, but that choice has already been made in his death, in his choice to go to the cross. And now he needs us to work in partnership with him, to be his hands and feet on the earth, to bring healing to others around us. Our doctors and nurses are doing that on a daily basis. But we can also do that through our prayers and through maybe the little things that we still have choice in. We still have a choice to pick up the phone and talk to somebody. We still have the choice to send an encouraging text. We still have the choice to write an inspiring email. We have the choice to bring hope and light to people who are sitting in darkness. And like that man with leprosy, we also have the choice to get up each day and to give thanks for what we do have, which is always going to be much more some in this world. The question is, do we want to make that choice to be in partnership with Christ? Do we trust Christ, the man on the cross, the deity, our God? Do we trust the Trinity to lead us and to heal us on a daily basis? Amen.